So it was about 3 years ago that I was here during the week by myself doing something in the sanctuary, and I went over to the men's restroom back here to use the facilities, and thankfully, as I walked in, I happened to look up, and the drop ceiling was not where it was supposed to be. It was kind of doing this number where I could almost reach up and touch it, and I said, oh my goodness, the sky is falling, and I ran out of there. And it was right after we had put a new air conditioning unit on top of that part of the roof. And apparently it's more than a jackhammer. It was something that was like pounding this big, heavy AC unit into place on the roof. That shook loose what turned out to be perhaps some faulty construction in the beginning. Long story short, John Wright and a faithful facilities crew made sure it got fixed correctly. You can imagine the journey we had between the AC installers, the insurance company, and the original builders. No one wanted to claim responsibility for what happened. We got it all sorted out, and it's perfectly safe to go in there. But the reason that came to my mind is, unless you are a builder in construction, architect, that type of person, I know I at least take for granted that a building is well constructed. It's only when there's a problem that you really pay attention to, well, how was this built in the first place? Was there enough structural support to support something going on the roof, that sort of thing? In today's text, it's all this analogy about God building something for his people. And the good news is God is the master builder. God is perfect in his construction of things. And the verses are going to kind of play out that analogy to help us understand what it is that God has prepared for us. I wanted to start with that by saying you may not think about kind of what's going on behind the scenes of what God has done, but I want to invite you this morning to, in effect, kind of do an inspection of the perfect and purposed building, construction, preparation that God has made for a home for you. That's the illustration this morning is God has made a home, a household for his people. Just to remind you, the last couple of weeks, we have been moving through Ephesians 2, and kind of the broad story there is that God's love, God's compassion is not narrowly focused on just a few, not just his special children of Abraham, but God's love is expansive and for the whole world, for all the nations and peoples and people groups, language groups, ethnicities, races, all the people of the world. I know you've heard me say this because I say it almost every Sunday in some form or another. You know, that original story of humanity rebelling against God, the fall of humanity, Adam and Eve and all that. The great news is that when we collectively turned away from God, God did not turn away from us. But the whole story in this book is the story of God coming after us. Right, calling us home, inviting us back, welcoming us back. So we've looked at this story the last 2 weeks of the prodigal son and just the amazing compassion and love of the father in that story for his wandering son who was far off. You might have expected the younger son, the wandering son certainly expected his father either to reject him or maybe make him work it off for a while. But the father was stunningly and didn't even let him give his speech. He said, my son is home. The one who is lost is found. We're going to have a party for him. You may remember that strange translation. We're going to have a beef barbecue. He's home. But it's killed the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate because the one who is lost to me, whom I love, is found. That's a picture of the big picture of God towards each of you, towards every person on the earth. God's desire is to welcome them, to welcome you into his presence, to welcome you home. So what we're going to look at today is this metaphor, this picture of a home that God has constructed for this large, broad group that God welcomes, all who will come. It's not just your responsibility to come. God's desire, God's heart is to come gather you in and gather the world in. So we're going to look at some of this design. So we're going to start in verse 19. It's kind of a recap of the previous weeks of just how big God's love is for the world. And in this verse, there are two pictures of our new identity, if we have returned to God or accepted that welcome or said, yeah, I'm interested, God, you know, bring me in. It starts with a reminder of what we are no longer. It says you are no longer strangers to God, but you are two things. One is you now have a citizenship in heaven. Citizenship is a big deal, to belong to some country or nation. In this case, it's the kingdom of God. God sits on the throne. It's God's laws that are perfect and good and far best. Those are the laws that govern this heavenly kingdom. It is a kingdom of compassion and of justice, who cares for the downtrodden and the oppressed and the cast out. That's the citizenship we have in Christ. And right along with that, the citizenship, verse 19 says we're part of God's household. We are adopted into God's family. So one, and at the same time, we belong to God's kingdom and we belong to God's household, right? When Melissa was asking the different kids, who's in your household? This is who's in God's household. People from every tribe and tongue and nation who have looked through Christ back to God's offer of welcome and being home. So this first verse is about our identity. It's a double belonging. We're citizens in God's kingdom. We are members of God's household, sons and daughters of God the Father, of God the King. And that's the basic good news, right? No matter who you are, what you have done, God will welcome you home and claim you as his own. So what comes next is a tour of the house, the home that God has built for us. So in verses 20 and 21, we get to read just how well built, well prepared this home is for us. And there's three pieces to that. Excuse me for all the coughing. First, we read about the foundation. The foundation is described as being made of the prophets and the apostles. This is shorthand for saying the foundation is the word of God, or the revelation of God, because that's what prophets and apostles did. They proclaimed, thus saith the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. In the Old Testament, prophets were the ones who spoke those words out into the world to God's people to say, this is who God is. This is what God wants. That's the prophets. In the New Testament, the apostles have that role. They are the New Testament prophets, and they trained under Jesus, and then they spoke out the message of God, the word of God. This is who God is. This is what God wants. So that foundation, you know, if we're trying to understand what that is for our home with God, it's all that God has told us about himself. And then the cornerstone, Melissa mentioned that, is Jesus himself. I don't know that there still are functional cornerstones in our building today. There sometimes are cornerstone markers, like we have one out here that marks when that wing of the church was built, but I don't know that functionally they do anything. In ancient times, the cornerstone actually set the both the square and the level for a stone building. If you set the cornerstone properly, then you know each wall and then building up all depended on how level you set the stone. It was the key to the whole structure. And this is saying that Jesus is that cornerstone. And the rest of the foundation is God's revelation through his word, through prophets and apostles. Jesus was part of that, but he was the anchor, right? Because he was both the fulfillment of all that prophecy and he was the embodiment of it. So it makes sense that he would be the cornerstone. And then this is the part that I always am fascinated with. The rest of the home that God has made for us is made up of us. Right, we are the way that God has fitted and built together this home for his people, this home for his family. It's made of you and me, of the people that God gathers into the home. In 1 Peter, it uses the same imagery, and it calls us living stones, right? It is a living structure. So you may remember, because I try to say it a lot, this church, this part of God's family, is not the walls, the ceiling, the floor, it is you. You are the church, and we happen to gather in this place. Right? When the prodigal son came home to whatever his street address was, 13 Shepherd's Way, let's say, the celebration was that he was home, not because he was there residing in the house that he had grown up with, but because the family was reunited. that was the household. And even Melissa, right, when she was asking, who's in your household, we didn't hear, well, I have a GE stove and this kind of microwave and we have a shingle roof. It was the household, the home, are the people that are there. And that's definitely the picture God has for us. So the foundation of the Word of God, the cornerstone of Jesus, and the living stones, God's church, God's people are made up of living stones that are you and me. And then all that is not just for the sake of curiosity, but God has built us into this home for his people for a reason. And that's what the end of verse 21 and 22 are about, the purpose of this building. Now, I remember it. I know you can't see this well, so I tried to blow it up. I think back one time when I was preaching on that First Peter passage, we had the children go out and construct this very structure, right, of a cornerstone. You see Jesus there. I don't know that we did the foundation, but we tried to kind of capture the living stone. So each of you who was present that day wrote your name on a Lego block, and we sent the children out, and they made this structure, right? And you can see some of the names up there. I can at least read Candace. A few of you were younger at the time, so your writing is maybe not as clear. I see Lucas up there, but that was probably, 4 or 5 years ago, yeah. The purpose of this house of living stones that God is building, in verses 21 and 22, there's two purposes given. They're up here. One is that God is growing us, growing you and me and all those he would gather in, and all those he would have us seek. He's growing us into a holy temple and also into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So those are two purposes I want to talk about. A temple is a place of worship, of prayer, of service. It's where we gather in God's presence to offer ourselves, to worship, to serve the Lord, right? That's what a church is as well. So that's one purpose for gathering us into this living home, is so that we can worship and serve and be a part of what God's doing. The dwelling is like a house that you live in. It's the amazing news that as God gathers us, God is right here in our midst among us. Right? God is our Heavenly Father. He's adopted us as sons and daughters into our family. We together belong to each other. And that's part of the reason why this Christian faith is not a do-it-by-yourself, off-in-the-woods kind of thing. God's whole design from the beginning was to gather us into community, because we are how we experience this building, this body of Christ, right? It would just be no good at all to take the Teresa block and stick her over in a corner, right? The whole purpose of God's family is that to gather us together. Well, if I put all that together, this is what I believe all these verses, the last couple of weeks, kind of leading up to this one today, what they're saying is God has this great big heart, right, for all the peoples of the world. It's never been about one person or one people. From the beginning, he said to Abraham, yes, I will bless you and give you land and children, but I'm blessing you so that you and your children will bless the nations of the world. That's the same purpose God has for church, the collection of people. It's not that you'll just be happy and cozy within the walls of Good Shepherd and I'll bless your chicken dinners and the things you do here. It's I'm blessing you to overflow with blessing out into your neighborhood and community and world. So our purpose in being this house of living stones with names like Teresa and Candace and Lucas is so that we can embody to the world the big heart of God, right? It's, you frequently hear that line of we're the hands and feet of Christ, and that is true. But this is even stronger. This is saying God's right in the middle of us. His Holy Spirit is right here in the middle of us. And as we are gathered into this temple and this house of God, we are taking part in God's outreach into the world. So it's all this, boiled down, it's this whole summer focus. We don't just have open houses. We don't just have events to invite people in or to take some cool program out. It's us. We are the living stones. We are the open house. That's God's purpose and God's design for his people everywhere. But we're the people here. So we're talking about us today. We are to be an open house. So that has all kinds of implications for everything we do, right? From our music programs to our Christmas shop to our youth programming, our children, our prime timers, our missions, our prayers, everything. It's why God has gathered us into this place, is to embody his expansive love for the world. And for us, the first step of that world is this neighborhood right around us. I know. I talk about that a lot. It's because I'm convicted that's God's heart for us as a people. And if we're going to be faithful, we join in what God is already doing. Right? God's already out in these homes and these houses and these workplaces and the school and the home across the street. God's already at work in people's heart. And our calling is to join in with that and be the ones that embody that for our neighbors. So I pray that God will give us open ears and hearts to hear his word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your merciful and compassionate heart, your mercies that are new every morning, your pursuit of your fallen creation, your desire that none would be lost and that all would be gathered into you. I thank you that you have included us in that that passion and that purpose. Would you individually, would you help us to see opportunities this week to embody your compassion as a church? Would you open our eyes and our sense of vision and calling to embody and live out your compassion and love and salvation to the people around us? Lord, we thank you for this word that you say is our foundation. Would you help us to build our lives upon it, both as individuals and as a church body? Would you help us to focus on Christ as our cornerstone, the one who marks whether we are in line, whether we are level, whether we are focused? We ask all these things in his name, our cornerstone, Jesus. Amen.